thank you so much that we can gather together like this in such freedom. And Lord, even as your word goes out this morning, I thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That in all we say and all we do this morning, that the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will be glorified in our midst. And Father, we give you again all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Excellent. Are you ready to receive this morning? Because I know we talk about this, sometimes we can come in to a meeting like this where our hearts are not prepared, and we leave in exactly the same state as we came in. So if that's you, nobody will know, and I'm sure you're not blushing, right? But speak to your heart right now and just say, tell your heart, I'm ready to receive this morning. I'm ready to receive. Folks, I want to get straight into what I want to share this morning, and I've titled today's message, The Lord is My Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, so you can be assured of the fact that I will be having a look at Psalm 23. We all know Psalm 23, but I hope this message that I'm sharing this morning comes over as a real encouragement to all of us. We need to be encouraged when we read a psalm like that. So, just starting off with a question. Are we a half-empty generation? Are we, or are we a generation of believers that is full? Of believers. Are we a generation of believers that are full of what the Lord actually has for us? Are we a people where the Bible speaks about where our cups are running over because of all the goodness that the Lord is putting into our cups? All right? Or are we a people that somehow we feel that our cup is leaking? It's like there's a hole in it or there's a crack in it that as stuff goes into the top of this cup, but it just seems to leak out. Folks, as believers in Jesus, we really need to be a people who live a life of contentment. Is that right? Is that the right word? We need to be content, and us being content needs to be a lifestyle. It should not just be an event. It needs to be a lifestyle of living content. But so often, the only thing that is filling up, and I'll say believers' cups, people that put their trust in Jesus, believers' cups, is a thing called fear. Christians' cups are being filled with fear. Fear that we won't have enough. Fear that we're not good enough, we're not important enough. Fear of the future. Fear of death. Fear of loneliness. And this list can go on and on and on. It just goes on. And folks, when we are in a state like that, one thing is for sure, that you and I are not getting our significance and our security from the Lord. This is so important. We need to be people that get our significance and our security from the Lord all the time. So let me ask you a question. Where do you get your significance from? Do you get your significance from, you know, that job that you do so well, that when you're operating and doing your thing in your job, you know, things are going so well, people around you admire you. Do you get your significance from your job? Do you get your significance from money? Well, you know, I'm a mega wealthy person, or I'm doing really, really well. Do you get your significance from that? Do you get your significance from, maybe it's a title, maybe it's a fancy title on your office door, right? And with it goes a fancy title on your business card. Do you get your significance from that? The other question, where do you get your security from? Do you get your security from that pension fund that you have been putting money into month in, month out, year out for decades? Does that make you secure? You feel secure because of that. Do you get your security from that fancy, brand new electric fence that you've got around your house? Does that make you feel secure? Okay. Do you feel secure because of your bank balance? Whew, gee, I'm all right. I should make it to the end. Does that make you secure? Do you feel secure because of that paycheck, that money that you get on a monthly basis? Thank God, I am so secure because of that. Again, I want to say to us folks, when we start to put our trust in terms of our significance and our security in anything that is outside of the Lord, there's a problem. There's a problem right there. So here's a question for us. Is your heart, and is my heart, the same as David's heart when he wrote Psalm 23? And Psalm 23 is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Are our hearts just the same as David's? Or is there a huge difference between David's heart towards the Lord and our heart towards the Lord? Is there a difference there? You know, it's interesting. When you read Psalm 23, please, if you've got your Bibles or your phones or whatever, just turn to Psalm 23 right now. But it's interesting. How could someone write with such contentment and write with feeling so secure, writing a psalm like this, at a time when things were really difficult? In those days, when David wrote the psalm, I want to tell you, there was no hospitals. There was no MediClinic. Okay, well, I've got an issue. I'll just pop off to MediClinic or, you know, whatever. There were no hospitals like that. In those days, when David wrote the psalm, he had to put his trust somewhere else because there was no penicillin. Well, I've got an infection in my body. Well, sorry, but there's no penicillin now. You know, that was only going to come in a couple of thousand years' time. Right? He had to put his trust somewhere else. There were no medical aid schemes. There were no pension funds. None of these things. So let's see why David was so content. Let's have a look at the Psalm 23. Now, I'm going to read through Psalm 23, but what I find very, very interesting, when, you know, the Psalm 23 is only six verses. And yet, it's just so amazing. Six verses. Now, in those six verses of Psalm 23, David reveals seven of the Lord's names. Seven of the Lord's names in Psalm 23. And as I read through Psalm 23, I'm just going to highlight those, and then we're going to get a little bit deeper into the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Raha, which is the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That is who God is. That is who the good shepherd is. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace, or the Lord is my peace. He restores my soul. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Did I say Jehovah Rapha before? Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Okay, then Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord who heals. It goes on, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tiskenu is the Lord my righteousness. Folks, we are the righteousness of God. You know that? You are righteous. But he is the Lord my righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my victor, the Lord my victory. Jehovah Nissi. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's Jehovah Mkadesh. The Lord is my sanctifier. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Seven of the Lord's names that we see right throughout the Word, but are in those six verses of this Psalm 23. So let's have a look at Psalm 23, and let's get into a little bit of detail here. Are you ready for that? Folks, because this psalm, if we can get our head around it and we get an understanding of it and we have a revelation of it, it's going to set us free and it's going to allow us to just enjoy this life that God has given to us. Why? Because we start to put our trust in the Good Shepherd. That's why. It says, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Right? What does a shepherd do? Okay? What does a shepherd do? A shepherd shields the flock. A shepherd will look after the flock. In other words, he protects the flock and he also will guide the flock. He guards them. He leads them. And this is who God is to us. The Lord is my shepherd. He will look after you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will protect you. Then goes on to say, I shall not want. That means that he is our provider. He will provide for us. And our provision, this is important now, that our provision is it's linked to or it is proportional to our commitment to the Lord. So many people will say, okay, I'm a Christian. I never read the Word of God. I don't go to church. I don't, you know, but I'm a Christian. And they expect the favor of God, the blessings of God to be poured out upon them. And they don't even have a relationship. We're talking relationship here with our shepherd. Right? And of course, this means that I shall not lack in anything. I will not have needs if he truly is my shepherd. There will be no need if we have that deep, deep personal relationship with Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. And what's very interesting about this, as we look at this, that this psalm is written in present tense. So the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. That means he's my shepherd now. Okay? It doesn't say the Lord was my shepherd, past tense. It doesn't say the Lord will be my shepherd, future tense. It says the Lord is my shepherd right now. That's verse 1. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. In other words, there is a promise right there. There's a promise of fresh, continually fresh nourishment that we will receive from him in terms of everything that we may need if we have this relationship with him. And folks, I want to say that this is both physical and it's spiritual. Our spiritual needs will be met and our physical needs will be met as we push in and truly declare him as our shepherd, the shepherd of our lives. And of course, it needs to be Jesus leading us, Jesus leading by the Holy Spirit. And you know, as I was processing this and kind of trying to understand this so that I could share it, you know, get a better understanding, I was just thinking about, what about the shepherd? You know, you got your sheep, and all the sheep are here, but there's one sheep that is right over there, far away. You know, you can't lead sheep like that. Right? Continually having to try to pull them in. It's like they're just not part of it. And we need to make sure that we are not one of those sheep that are just right out there on the peripheral, right, just somewhere out there. Because it's very, very difficult to lead sheep that don't want to be led. Amen. And I'm talking in the context of church today. So just having a look at all of this, we can just see how much God loves us. Do you feel loved by the Lord today? This should be a real encouragement, because I believe that as we go through, you know, we unpack this. This is God speaking to us. Like I said, it's present tense and just showing us how much he loves us. Verse 3, he restores my soul. So I'm refreshed and I'm given this peace. I'm giving this reassurance. We see it right there. And God, folks, wants us to live in peace. Right? We're saying anxiety. In fact, when we look at anxiety in the Bible, it's an instruction. You will not be anxious, or you should not be anxious. Because as soon as there is anxiety, there's a lack of peace. Am I right? So he is our peace. He wants us to live in this peace. And this is the peace. The Bible speaks about it. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And that also means that even while we're going through stuff, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be trials and tribulations in our lives. But even while we are in the midst of a storm, we can have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And also that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Even in the midst of that storm, right in the middle of it, we can be those people that are very, very joyful in spite of it. Amen. Next, he goes on to say, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So he leads us. So He's continually guiding us and He's giving us direction. He's showing us where we should go. And part of this is for righteous living. God wants us to live a righteous life and He wants to show us how. And the Word of God actually shows that. And so I live for Jesus. Why? So that I can testify to Him and of Him. It says, for His name's sake. We need to be good examples of believers when we are out there in this world that we're living in. You know, don't go out there and conduct yourself as a Christian in a way that even the worldly people look at you and they can't tell the difference. You know, I don't see you any different to anybody else around here. So there's something, there is a responsibility that is placed on us to conduct ourselves out there in a way that would really be pleasing to God. Amen. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's for us. Are we people that are full of fear? Even if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So we are guaranteed that the presence of the Lord, you know, when He's with us, that He's with us always. We just know that He's with us. The Bible says that He will never leave us or forsake us. So even when we're going through stuff, when we are going through difficult times, when we are going through those valleys, those dark times, even then, it might be a time of you just being very, very lonely. God, the Good Shepherd, is saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. It might be a time when we're going through a mourning phase in our lives where maybe we've lost a loved one. My son, my daughter, I'm with you. I'm with you. And we can start to focus on Him. It might be at a time where, you know, we are very ill, or maybe a family member is very ill. My son, my daughter, I'm with you. I'm with you right there. And it's quite interesting too that as we read this, that David assumes that we would go through these valleys. He says, even though I walk through the valley, he assumed it. And we can assume that in our life, at some point in our lives, that we are going to go through some difficult times. In fact, Jesus spoke a lot about it. We will go through some trials and tribulations, okay? But what he says right here, that even when we are in a grave situation, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a grave situation, right there, he will make sure that we are protected, whether it is that we'll be physically protected and spiritually protected as well. He'll bring us through. Even if we're going through a grave, difficult, how can I say, scary, could be fearful times, that we could be fearful. He's there for us. Folks, we can trust Him. And the problem is that it's not easy to put our trust in Him. It really isn't. Right? And yet He says He will never leave us or forsake us. But He goes on to say this, for You are with me. God, You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. So I can know that the Lord He walks with me. In fact, the Bible says that He will never leave us or forsake us. You know that when you got born again, God the Holy Spirit now dwells on the inside of you? So He's with us through all these trials and tribulations. But it's interesting where He says, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The rod indicates discipline. Do you know that? You go and do a study on this. The rod indicates discipline and the staff, comfort. Discipline and comfort that we get from the Lord. And it's quite interesting the way David wrote this. He didn't say, your staff and your rod. What comes first? The rod comes first. The discipline and then the comfort. So when we start to submit to the discipline of the Lord, we'll be in that place where we are comforted. That's what He wants for us. So, David, I mean, we could see that he was just totally content as he was, you know, writing the psalm. So, here's a question for us this morning. What would you be willing to kind of give or do so that you could experience the same contentment and the same security in your life that David experienced in his life. What would you be willing to do to experience what David actually experienced? You know, to have a relationship with God just the same way that David had a relationship with God. Do you remember what God called David? He called him a man after my own heart. And he wants to call you a man after his own heart, a woman after his own heart. That's what he wants for us. But what would you do? Well, what do we need to do? And I really believe for us to go and have that intense, deep, deep relationship, the same type of relationship that David had with God, there's just one thing that we really have to do, and that is to trust him as our shepherd. Trust him. That's what David did. We trust him as our shepherd. You know, before David became king, he was a shepherd. We know the story of David, and you know, he was a little shepherd boy, and then he took out Goliath. We know those stories. But I believe if David was actually standing here today, and he would be saying to us, he would say to us, you know what? My job as a shepherd, when I was a shepherd, when I was out looking after the sheep, the job of a shepherd is to look after the sheep. That is what the shepherd does. And this is what the good shepherd wants to do for us as well. He wants to look after us. We are his sheep. And in fact, a shepherd was the sole kind of, how can I say, the sole source of security in those days with David when he looked after his sheep. Because without the shepherd in those days in the wilderness, without having a shepherd there, those sheep wouldn't survive. They wouldn't survive at all. They would actually die. So the sheep, because of the relationship that, you know, the shepherd kind of had with the sheep started to trust the shepherd. Why? Because they had to. And folks, we have to. We have to just put our trust in him. It's as simple as that. Make the decision. And also what's interesting in those days, I mean, when we talk about a shepherd, we see a shepherd and we kind of see those, what are those dogs called, those kind of sheepy dogs that chase and herd sheep? Border collie, yes, those things, right? We always see sheep as being herded. But in those days, the sheep weren't herded. The shepherd had such a good relationship with the sheep that he would speak to the sheep. He would grab the sheep and go through and, you know, pull off little ticks and what all these hockles that were on them. And he would just kind of say, right, sheep, some signal, you know, let's go. And he would go. And the sheep would follow. And that's what God wants. He just wants us to follow him. Just follow. Easy. Just go out and follow. And I believe too that if King David, okay, was standing here this morning, he would say to us that this thing of confidence and this thing of security and maybe even this thing of significance that we've been speaking about here this morning comes to us when we are able to put our trust in the Good Shepherd. That's all David did. Look what God did with him. From the rejected family member. Do you remember when they were looking for a king? They left him out there. They didn't even include him. He just wasn't part of, you know, he wasn't one of, he was the youngest brother and he just wasn't, in their opinion, it couldn't be him. He couldn't qualify. But he learned something when he was out there looking after sheep. I think, you know, I was just pondering this as well, you know, again, if David was, I think he could boldly say, David could speak it out with boldness, and he could say, with absolute boldness and absolute commitment, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can we do that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will fear no evil. We can say that. I will fear no evil. If he truly is our shepherd. You know, folks, if we don't trust the Lord as the sheep, those sheep trusted the shepherd, if we don't do that, in other words, you know, we don't trust him, we don't trust the Lord with our troubles at work, we don't trust the Lord, you know, when there's an interruption to our plans, things happen in our lives, we don't trust the Lord with our broken dreams, we don't trust the Lord with bad relationships, you know, with family and friends and all of those things. if we don't put our trust in Him, when those things happen, it could result in you and I actually going through a period, quite a long period, of dark times. Because He's the solution to these things. So it could be that when we don't put our trust in Him, that it might be an extended period of what we would call a dark time. But folks, I want to say to us this morning, if we truly do put our trust in Him as the Good Shepherd, with those trouble issues at work, with those relational issues or any of those interruptions that I mentioned right now, any of those things, broken dreams, if we truly do put our trust in Him for those things, that would just be a pause. Not a long time. It will be a pause that would allow us to start to understand, to start experience His guiding presence. That is part of what a shepherd does. He guides us. He leads us. And each experience that we experience like that, you know, each difficult thing that we might go through, it will allow us to grow a little bit more and draw a little bit closer to Him in terms of our relationship with Him. We just get a bit more closer and we start to trust Him a little bit more. And what happens after a period of time, we start to rely on Him. Totally rely on Him. David, like I say, if he was standing here today, right here, okay, he would say that this contentment and this security that we are speaking about, that we are reading in Psalm 23, will come if we truly do put our trust in Him as our shepherd. I believe so. I mean, we see what he's written over here. You know, it's very interesting because I want to read us a portion of Scripture now from John 10, verse 1. And let me read it. This is Jesus speaking. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep." Has Jesus laid his life down for us? We better believe he's laid his life down for us. Okay? He did this when he died on that cross. He laid his life down for you and for me because of this amazing love that he has for us. Why? So that you and I do not have to go through what he went through. He took it all upon himself. Right? So he did it. But now it's interesting. So he says that in the first verse, part of the first verse. And now Jesus goes on in verse 12, the next verse, and tells us about those shepherds that are not true shepherds. Do you know that you get shepherds that are not true shepherds? Well, if you didn't know, Jesus is going to tell us about them. All right. Verse 12. "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep." Do you know that Jesus owns us? Do you know that you have been bought with a price, a very high price, and it was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? He owns you. According to the word, you no longer belong to you. You belong to him if you are a believer. So he owns us. But he says right there, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep," like I said, he owns us, he bought us with a price. "These guys, these so-called shepherds," he says, "sees a wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees." Here's the sheep, there's the wolf, I'm out of here. Okay? That's the hireling. And he flees. And then the wolf comes in and snatches them and he scatters the sheep. We see that time and time again in churches. Right? Where the wolf comes in, scatters the sheep. Jesus goes on to say, "He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep." Folks, we better be careful where, in terms of church, where we fellowship. Right? Because I want to tell you that there are many, many shepherds that are kind of the shepherd, you know, it's another name for pastor. Many pastors or shepherds out there that feel that much for the sheep. What they will do, they will fleece the sheep until the sheep actually know they've been fleeced. Okay? We have to be very, very careful out there, especially the times that we are living in right now. Jesus goes on to say, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know him? He says, I know you. You're part of his sheep. You're one of his sheep. I'm one of his sheep. He says that, and my sheep know me. Be honest with yourself. Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? When he moves, do you move? He says, just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So God has always been the good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. We see it right there. And we can trust him, and you know, just know instinctively we trust him because he is a good shepherd. And he wants obviously the very best for you. He wants the very best for me, but he wants us to be able to put our complete trust and rely totally in him so that these blessings can be poured out upon you and upon me as well. And he says, even when we are going through, when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even when we are going through those difficult times, he will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's what he said to us. So here's a question. Is it easy to do this? Is it easy to put our total trust in the Good Shepherd? I don't believe it's easy, folks. Because sometimes, you know, where the rubber, you know, it's easy when things are going well. Then it's easy, you know. But when the rubber meets the road, what it's like, what's that story they talk about, the toothpaste tube, huh? You know, what comes out when the pressure's on? What comes out? What comes out of you? Or do we just turn and say, the Lord is my shepherd, and put our trust in him? So bottom line is, it is not an easy thing to do, to totally trust Jesus, you know, with every thing that we experience. But let me say this. If we make a decision, and we've made a decision to, you know, to receive him as our Lord and Savior, the next thing, if we start to spend time in his presence, if we start to spend time in prayer, in his presence, just spending time with him, when we start to spend time reading the word, meditating on the word, studying the word, and receiving the word, when we continue to do this, you'll find that you draw closer and closer, and we reach a point where we truly can do that. Put our total trust in him. But there's a responsibility on our side. It doesn't just happen. We have to make a decision to do that. And it's not now because of what we've done, because we've done all of those things. It's just because of who he is. He just loves you. Just loves you. Just wants to pour out grace upon you. Just wants to pour out his mercy upon you. What? He just loves you. The last two verses, let me read them. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table for you and for me in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who are our enemies as a believer? You better believe you have an enemy. The first one is the evil one. He's real, and he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. We know that, right? So he is an enemy out there, and of course, his influence is an enemy to us as well. But then also, our own flesh and our own sinfulness is an enemy to us. It is. You know, we can point fingers and let's sort the evil one out. We always used to say, when in doubt, kick him out, right? So when in doubt, kick him out, because he's probably around there anyway. But sometimes we need to look inwardly as well. And folks, I want to say these are the things that actually war against God's plans and God's purposes for our lives. They're there. We want not, okay? And we fear not. Why? Only when the Lord is our shepherd. We want not and we fear not when the Lord is our shepherd. And if he is our shepherd, he wants to look after us. He wants to ensure that the future that he has for each one of us. We heard Clem what he said this morning, right? Even right from the beginning, God knew us, knew about us, knows all about us, even before we were born. And he wants the very best for us. So folks, when we have a revelation only then, when we have a revelation of the Psalm 23 and the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and being able to accept God as our shepherd, when we have a revelation of only of all of this, only then can we say verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And when we have a revelation of all of this, only then can we say verse 6, goes on, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Goodness, that's what He has for us. And mercy, that's what He has for us. Folks, let's choose today. It's about a decision. To get to know God, get to know Jesus as the Good Shepherd. We have to make a decision to do that, because the path of least resistance, we won't do it. Let's make a decision to get to know Him as the Good Shepherd, just like David did. Read out on David's life. Why? So that we can take the Psalm 23, and the Psalm 23 becomes our own revelation. And the Psalm 23 becomes our own truth. That we can read this and know that we know that we know that it is true, that we have a conviction on this. Do you feel loved by the Lord this morning? And I must say, you know, I was saying in the prayer meeting, geez, sometimes I just find it difficult. And when I started preparing this message, it was difficult. Because I don't know whether anybody can actually give it justice. In fact, it was so difficult, I nearly freaked out, you know, typing it all out. And then something happened on my computer where there were 17 pages, and they all disappeared. They all became like 17 little dots on my screen. And I didn't know what to do. I was just waiting for some computer guy to kind of show up. Anyway, the Lord's good, and we kind of got it back. But yeah, you know, because it is a difficult message to be able to communicate that we are, that like I said, that I'm able to give it its due justice, because this is just so powerful. He just loves us so much. Amen? So I trust you feel loved by the Lord, and that we take the Psalm 23, and know that it is present tense. This is God speaking to you and God speaking to me here today. Amen. Good. Claude, thank you.